You are Locked On Angels, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, your 2018 Angel. Welcome to Locked On Angels.
Keep it locked.
Locked on.
We're locked on, sir.
Locked On Angels.
How's it going, everybody? My name's Patrick Zajac, your host of Locked On Angels, minor league play-by-play broadcaster and first row rider of the emotional sports roller coaster that is Angels baseball. Welcome to your daily Angels update here on Locked On Angels, LockedOnSports.com, FanRag Sports, Locked On Podcast Network. I missed you guys. It's been a long three-day weekend. I know I didn't put out a Monday episode for you in an ode to the Memorial Day. Hope you guys enjoyed the day off, which, of course, is in memoriam to all those who have made the ultimate sacrifice in protecting the freedoms of this country. So I wanted to start off with that most sincere thank you. And like I said, memoriam to all those. The reason that we have the Memorial Day in the first place, it's not just a day to, you know, put on a pair of America shorts and drink Coors Light and, yes, enjoy it with friends and family. But at the same time, let's all keep perspective as to why that day is what it is in the first place. So that's why I wasn't with you guys on Monday. But today, loaded show for you on May 29th, getting ever closer to June here. As we move right along this baseball season, Angels not doing so hot as of late, losing 2 out of 3 to the Yankees. They lose the Memorial Day affair to the Tigers, and now 3 games left in Detroit. This road trip's looking a little rough at 3-4 now with 3 games left. Let's see if the Angels can maybe win out, although nothing really tells me that's possible as of right now, or will happen, I should say, and finish with a solid 6-4. Anything less than that, quite frankly, is mediocre. Or disappointing. So today's show, going to be talking about primarily Garrett Richards and why I do not think he is an ace, especially coming off of his last start against the Yankees. Wasn't able to get out of the third inning. Then Tuesday, you're down on the farm report. Got a couple of updates for you on individual players, but the focus for our down on the farm report this time is on potential positions of need at the big league level, and if there's any guys that can contribute right away to help fill those holes. So I'll talk a little bit about that, a long look at a lot of guys in AAA as of right now. And then lastly, taking a look around the landscape real quick and how the Angels are setting up around the rest of the American League as they finish up this 10-game road trip with 3 more in Detroit. So that's what's coming right at you. I start first with Garrett Richards. Garrett Richards, last start against the Yankees Sunday afternoon, or I should say Sunday morning for all of us here on the West Coast, but man, that was a tough start to watch. And I put it out on Twitter as I was watching it. Did anyone enjoy? I know that none of you enjoyed that start by Garrett Richards, but do you guys genuinely enjoy Garrett Richards pitching for the most part? Because, man, I find it tough to watch at times because his great starts are so few and far in between that it just makes it tough. I get the sense that he doesn't really know where the ball is going. Yes, he has phenomenal stuff, can, you know, throw 2 or 3 different types of fastballs that are all 97 plus, has that devastating slider and curveball combination that he's been using more this season, has gotten away from the changeup. Phenomenal breaking pitches, and like I said, the velocity on the fastball as well as the slight movement is something to behold, no doubt. That's the reason why Garrett Richards got to the major league level, but we're at the point now where Garrett Richards is not an ace. He's 30 years old now, as he made that last start on his 30th birthday. And this is Garrett Richards right here. He is not, I think it was one of you guys listening in, and I forget the name. I'm sorry to not give you credit for this, but someone commented that Garrett Richards is a thrower and not a pitcher. And I'd have to agree with that. Time and time again, Garrett Richards doesn't locate pitches. I don't really follow his approach to different hitters. At no point do I ever feel like Garrett Richards tells himself, okay, look, this inning pitch count's a little bit high. I'm going to try and pitch to contact but still get outs and maybe have a 10 to 15 pitch inning rather than a 20 to 22 pitch inning and trying to strike everybody out and raise that pitch count up. Too many times I feel like he's trying to blow it by guys or get swings and misses. And in order to be an ace, you have to pick your spots. Yes, absolutely. Guys like Garrett Cole, Justin Verlander, they can mow him down with the best of them. But those same guys I just mentioned and countless others across Major League Baseball, they consistently get to the seventh and eighth innings because they know when to dial it back a bit, pitch to contact, so they can get deeper into the ballgame and then make themselves more valuable to their squad. Let's go through some of Garrett Richards' starts so far this year. He's made 11 on the season, and for the most part, the statistics aren't bad, but for a frontline starter, 4-4 with a 3.67 ERA, an impressive 60 strikeouts in 54 innings pitched, but 28 walks to go along with that. Oh, and 7 home runs also served up. Start by start, let's go back to March 29th against Oakland. 5 innings, 4 earned runs. April 3rd, against the Indians, 5 2/3 innings, 2 earned runs. Texas, April 9th, 4 1/3 innings, just 1 earned run given up, but pitch count at 94, so he had to exit. 5 walks as well in that game. April 14th, Kansas City, 5 innings, 1 earned run, but again, a little erratic, had to be taken out in the 6th inning. 5 strikeouts, 3 walks. San Francisco Giants, 11 punch-outs in 6 innings pitch, gave up just 2 earned runs, a little bit better. But then, start against the Yankees at Angel Stadium on April 28th. 5 earned runs, 9 runs total, didn't get out of the 2nd inning, just 2 strikeouts. Then, May 4th, against the Mariners, one of his better starts of the season, 6 2/3 innings, no runs given up, 4 hits, 8 strikeouts. I might add, I was there for that one. He was phenomenal. May 10th, against the Twins, 5 1/3, 3 earned runs, no walks, his only start with no walks this season. Then against Houston at Angel Stadium, again phenomenal, just the 2-run bomb to Evan Gattis served up, but that was after a Zach Cozart error, so none of those runs were earned. 7 innings all told, 91 pitches, 4 strikeouts, 1 walk. Then his last 2 starts, Blue Jays, 5 innings, 5 runs total, just 1 of them earned, 92 pitches. And lastly, against the Yankees, couldn't get out of the 3rd, was all over the place with his fastball. 5 walks in 2 1/3 innings, 3 runs given up, all told 70 pitches for Richards, and he couldn't get out of the 3rd. So as I'm looking through those 11 starts, only 2, if I'm counting correctly, well, let's say 3, sorry, I was not counting correctly, but 3 of those starts has he gone at least 6 innings and given up 2 earned runs or less. In fact, only in those are his only 3 starts where he's gotten through 6 innings. That simply cannot happen from a guy that's supposed to be the ace. And I mentioned it last week, Shohei Ohtani has leapt past Garrett Richards in the rotation in terms of 1A, 1B, or 1 and 2, however you want to look at it. The only knock on Ohtani is he doesn't pitch on the regular rest that Garrett Richards does. He's become a once-a-week guy, and now his latest start has been pushed back even further a couple of days. So right now, the Angels don't really have a true ace, and while that may not be a problem for now because you're still getting decent outings from the rotation as a whole, guys 1 through 6, and it could be enough to sustain you through the season, you get into the playoffs, who are you going to lean on? Who does Mike Scioscia trust the most? Right now, I think it's Shohei Ohtani. Maybe Tyler Skaggs or Andrew Heaney has a place there, but they've both struggled in their last starts now after extended solid periods. Is Garrett Richards going to be efficient enough to get you through at least 6 innings? Only 3 times out of 11 has he done so this year. And that, quite frankly, is unacceptable. You need to learn how to become a pitcher, not just a guy with phenomenal stuff that can get swings and misses based on just the pure talent of that stuff. You need to learn to pick your spots, pitch to contact, get quick outs so that you can hang with Justin Verlander, with Garrett Cole, with Corey Kluber, Clayton Kershaw when he's on. Get deep into ball games. Save your bullpen that's been so taxed so far this season. Maybe not as much as of late, but man, I don't trust Garrett Richards right now to give me six solid innings. I'm on pins and needles with every start. The injury history was always a concern, still is. But what Garrett Richards are we going to get on a given start? And that inconsistency is maddening. And the reason why, he is not an ace, at least not the ace of this Angels rotation. He can't be. The results speak for themselves. You want to sponsor the show? Know someone that does? Hit me up, LockedOnAngels@gmail.com. Rates are always reasonable. Also, you guys want to help out on LockedOnAngels.com? Hit me up, LockedOnAngels.com. Love to chat with you guys about contributing here, not only on the show, but on the website as we grow the Locked On Angels network. And of course, like I said, you want to sponsor the show? Hit me up, LockedOnAngels@gmail.com. All right, Tuesday. That means it's also time for your Down on the Farm report. And like I said, taking a specific look at guys that can help out the Major League squad at positions of need as of right now, because there seem to be more and more and more as games go along here.
We're Angels, not Cowboys.
Here's your Down on the Farm report.
I wanted to give an update on Joe Adell, as I highlighted him last week for having a monstrous week. He's continued that power-wise as he's gotten called up with the Inland Empire 66ers with two home runs in the last week, though that average in 30 at-bats with the 66ers at high A at just 172. You guys aren't able to go to an Angel game, maybe can't afford it for whatever reason, looking for something to do on a random night, can make the drive to Inland Empire, do it. For all you peeps in Southern California, because right now, three high-level prospects with the squad there at Inland Empire, position player-wise. You got Joe Adell, you got Brandon Marsh, high-level outfielder, and you got Jamai Jones, used to be an outfielder, now getting his starts at second base. That's a lot of talent for one squad. You also can watch Roberto Baldalquin down there. Hot start to the year with Inland Empire, but has since cooled off. But wanted to give an update for you guys in that regard with Inland Empire. But like I said, want to specifically highlight, you know, positions of need that have come about now with the Major League squad. And I think we can all agree they center around right field with Cole Calhoun's well-documented struggles, not only on this show, but amongst all of us Angel fans. Second base with Ian Kinsler batting below the Mendoza line. Zach Cozart to an extent at third, though he's still producing enough to keep his spot. And then that first base situation with Albert Pujols, largely meh, maybe even a tick below that, very underwhelming. And Luis Valbuena can't hit the blind side of a barn right now. So specifically looking at those positions, I should mention as well, since our last Tuesday Down on the Farm report, Matt Theis also got called up. He went up to Salt Lake at the AAA level. Matt Theis is the first highlight because he's a first baseman. I'm projecting him to be the opening day starter at first base in 2019. Seven games now with Salt Lake, AAA level. Three home runs, 355 average to go along with a 429 on base percentage. Oh yeah, just four strikeouts in 31 at-bats. Matt Theis might be earning a promotion sometime mid-season, especially if Luis Valbuena and Jeffrey Marte continue to struggle. The Marte parte has seemingly ended. You don't got to go home, but you got to get the heck up out of here. First base is becoming an increasing problem, and Matt Theis maybe brings a little bit of balance to a very right-handed dominant lineup, because the guys that were supposed to be forces from the left-hand side, with the exception of Shohei Ohtani, have not produced. Cole Calhoun and Luis Valbuena are not getting it done. You need some more balance in the lineup. I would not be surprised to see my boy Matt Theis called up sooner rather than later, quite frankly, because he got it done at AA Mobile to start the year, hence the call up to AAA with Salt Lake, and he's continued that in the last week. Right field. I know we're all clamoring to get rid of Cole Calhoun, and you know, probably deservedly so. I'll be honest with you guys. I mean, I've tried to defend Cole as much as possible because of his great defense, but it's getting worse. In the last 30 days, Cole Calhoun is hitting 125. No home runs, one RBI, 12 strikeouts and 64 at-bats. Constantly hitting into the shift. At what point does what he provide defensively just not matter because of these horrendous struggles at the plate. It's got to matter eventually, especially with some of the production that you're getting at AAA Salt Lake. Caleb Cowart is starting to be moved around different positions, trying to be a super utility guy. He's hitting .309 in 32 games at AAA Salt Lake, though I know a lot of you guys have thrown out his name. I question whether or not he can get it done at the major league level because his stats in the minors, much like Jabari Blash, have always been great. And maybe Jabari Blash should get an extended look, get some consistent starts. I know he had about a cup of coffee with the Angels, specifically in that Seattle series and maybe a game against Colorado, but he wasn't given much of a chance other than to give Cole Calhoun some rest days. He has continued to mash in AAA, 15 homers, .341 average in 38 games. Michael Hermosillo has been called up, of course, to get some at-bats here and there. Not a big opportunity given. Other names, Eric Young Jr. has sort of cooled off, hitting just .275. Jabari Blash might be the guy that gets the shot, but again, similar to Caleb Cowart, he's a guy that has 100, 200 at-bats at the major league level and has not produced at some point. Maybe that's just who they are, sort of the 4A type guys in Major League Baseball, the guys that are probably too good for AAA but not quite good to stick around Major League Baseball. The outfield, there's no real solution there, at least no clear-cut solution in my opinion, besides giving guys here and there some opportunities instead of Cole Calhoun. But Cole Calhoun's going to get his 200 at-bats before we get to that point, I think. Second base, Ian Kinsler continues to struggle. I know it's been thrown around. Maybe you move Zach Cozart to second base full-time so you can bring up someone to cover the third base spot. You have a little bit more options there. Caleb Cowart, of course. You also have David Fletcher there, middle infielder to call up, play second base. A name to keep in mind, though, as Fletcher is hitting .343 in 46 games, Jose Fernandez has turned it on as of late, has just one error on the season, .347 average with a .426 on base percentage. That's over 30 points higher than David Fletcher. More home runs than Fletcher as well, 7-5. Similar games, 45-46, about 30 less at-bats, but he walks more, gets on base more, hits for a higher average and for more power. Jose Fernandez was sort of, I don't want to say a dark horse to make the major league roster at a spring training, but a guy that was certainly in the mix, and he's done nothing but produce in AAA. So Ian Kinsler's days might be numbered, similar to Cole Calhoun's. 200 at-bats, both of those guys are still batting below .200. I think it's time for Billy Epler to make some decisions, some serious decisions about the makeup of his roster. As veteran-laden as it is, you can only hope that they turn it around for so long. Lastly, to finish off the show here, that was the Down on the Farm report. Going to talk about a quick update on the landscape of the American League. Right now, the Angels season, I don't want to say slipping away because that seems so extreme with just still over 100 games to go. But man, the Seattle Mariners, 9-1 in their last 10, have picked up 5 games in the last week and a half on the Angels in the standings. It seems as if, like I said, the wild card race, I think I said this last week, is going to come down to 3 teams, and they're all in the American League West: Seattle, the Angels, and Oakland. Outside of the division leaders, Houston, Cleveland, and the 2 teams battling out in the AL East, the Red Sox and the Yankees, those 3 are your only teams above .500 in the American League. And I don't consider you contending for a playoff spot until you're above .500. Tampa Bay's close. They're exactly at .500 as I record this show, but Seattle has a 4.5 game lead on the Angels right now, despite all the injuries and concerns. And I know we've gotten so used to the Seattle Mariners collapsing at some point in the year because they have the longest playoff drought. I think active playoff drought in the 4 major sports leagues. I'm pretty sure that's correct. But do you really count on that collapse to happen in order to make the playoffs? Or do you, take it into your own hands, your own destiny, and start playing better baseball? Because it's been quite some time now since the Angels have done that. 16-22 since that 13-3 start. Yikes. This isn't just like a 1 or 2 week thing. This has been occurring since about mid-April, and that's alarming for this squad because that defines your season. And I know we came in optimistic. Those expectations went even higher with that hot 2.5 week start to the year. But man, things have cooled off considerably since then, and this is a team now that has even more holes than we could have anticipated coming into the season. Billy Epler did a fine job with, you know, shoring up those holes, or so we thought, but guys aren't producing. That's on them. We'll see what happens moving forward, but that's going to do it, guys, for today's episode. Thanks for coming back on and listening to us here on Locked On Angels after the brief Memorial Day hiatus. But as always, you can find me on Twitter. Follow the show, as always, I say, at Locked On Angels. You can follow me at Other Pat Zajac on Twitter. Subscribe, rate, review, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify. Is that the one I missed? I think so. Back at it again on Wednesday, guys. We're back at it every day, Monday through Friday. We're here for you, baby. See if the Angels can pick it up in Detroit, huh? You start playing some smart baseball. Take it easy, guys. I got to get out of here.
Peace!